بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 12th of May in the year 2018 الحمد لله to spend one final session discussing the glorious month of Ramadan and the blessed deed of fasting. So first to mention a famous report. The hadith is in Nasa'i, number 2110, is Hassan, Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 7486. Our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in it, i.e. the month of Ramadan, the gates of paradise are opened, and the gates of the fire are closed, and the shaitans are chained up. Subhanallah. So this is an authentic report in Nasa'i. So three things from the unseen take place when the holy month of Ramadan arrives. The gates of paradise open, the eight blessed gates of paradise. The seven gates of the fire are closed. And the shayateen, which cause mischief on the earth, are chained up. So what can you take from this? You can take from this is Allah the Almighty and Glorious is making it easier for us in this holy month to do the various good deeds. He's taken out our enemies by His grace and mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the shayateen, how exactly are they chained up? In Bayhaqi, Abu Ash-Sheikh Hafiz Dibyati in his Al-Matjar, number 715. Our beloved messenger, he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah the Almighty and Glorious Himself says, O Jibreel, alayhi salatu wa salam, descend to the earth and round up the rebellious shayateen. Tie them up in chains. Cast them into the oceans so that they do not spoil the fasts of the followers of my beloved Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So this is a hadith Qudsi. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, which angel is in charge of this? It's the archangel, Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's given a divine command, descend to the earth, round up the shayateen, tie them in chains, and where's their prison for the entire month? The bottom of the ocean. He goes, cast them into the oceans. Why? So they will not spoil the fasts of the followers of my beloved Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, I don't want them to find it too difficult to fast. Take out the shayateen. How many angels are used? In Asbahani, Kanz al-Umal, volume 4, page 323, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 210-211 of the New English Translation, our beloved messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed seven angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, to guard every rebellious shaitan. Though shaitan is unable to escape until the end of Ramadan. Subhanallah. So this narration adds that for each of the shayateen, there's seven guards. And they're on lockdown. They're in prison under the ocean. And there's seven guards on each of the shaitans. So now, what's interesting? Why the ocean? So obviously, with the advancements of science, the further down you go in the ocean, the darker it becomes. You get to a certain level, it's complete darkness. So it befits that this be a prison for the shayateen, because the hell itself is black, which the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The pressures increase immensely the further down you go. Meaning, it's not a place for the human beings. And even when the human beings attempt to get to the bottom of the ocean, look at the equipment they use. In other words, why? Because it's not a place for them. But what do you notice the further down you go into the oceans? The fish, they look petrifying. You know, recently there was a program about the deep, and some of the fish, they had huge fangs. And they looked like they were, you know, created to punish. Why? Because there's no light there. Where there's no light, there's darkness. And where there's darkness, evil. And what's interesting, even on the surface of the earth, where there's darkness, you get all those foul and poisonous insects that emerge. So note an appropriate place for the shayateen. What's interesting, in Sahih Muslim it mentions that the rebellious shayateen in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, they were also placed under the oceans by Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's a prison for the shayateen. So note, shaitan is graciously taken out. Question, why do people still sin when the shayateen are taken out? So there's a report which mentions that the major shayateen are taken out. So the lesser ones are still on the surface of the earth. Also your qareen is still operative, who is within you, the jinn. So yes, the major force has been taken, the leadership, for want of a better word. But there's still some forces on the earth. And of course there's human shaitans. They don't get locked up. Right? They're the worst type of shayateen. The first night of Ramadan, I mentioned yesterday that on that blessed night, the suhuf was given to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But on that night, there's something incredible that happens. The hadith is in Bayhaqi, Ibn Khuzaymah, Sahih, Targheem number 719. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is it that will soon receive you and you will soon receive it? So the companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, are you referring to revelation that will soon come to us? The Prophet said, no. Another Sahaba then said, are you referring to an enemy that's going to come to us, Ya Rasulullah? He said, no. They then asked, then what is soon going to come to us and we are soon going to meet it? What are you referring to, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives on the first night of Ramadan all the adherents to the Qibla. He repeated this three times. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives on the first night of Ramadan all the adherents to the Qibla. The companions thereupon said, Bakhin, Bakhin. Excellent, excellent. So let's look at this. So what does that mean? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look how he got the attention of the Sahab. He goes, something is going to meet you and you are going to meet it. So what does that mean? Could mean a million things. So they thought, is it revelation? No. Is it an enemy? No. It was Ramadan. Ramadan has almost arrived. And then he said, on the first night, those who face the Qibla, those who are Muslims, they are forgiven. It doesn't even mention you need to do anything. The adherents of the Qibla are forgiven. Meaning, the Allah Ta'ala pays you before you even do anything. For example, when you get a person to work for you, you pay him up front. He goes, look, here's your wage. Now you can work. That's one way to look at this. The other thing which is interesting is that the report, if you take it literally, is that you face the Qibla. So some of the ulama said that on the first night of Ramadan, just before Maghrib, you should be facing the Qibla. So when the holy month of Ramadan enters, you are actually facing the Qibla. Because if you take the hadith literally, that's what the hadith says. Allah Ta'ala forgives on the first night of Ramadan all the adherents to the Qibla. So when is Ramadan this year? They say they're going to be a Wednesday night, I believe, or a Thursday night. So just before Maghrib, come into the masjid, face the Qibla. And you should have a big smile like a Cheshire cat as soon as the Maghrib Azan takes place. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. He's paid you before you even started. So look how great the month is. Allah Ta'ala wants. He's tied up the shayateen immediately. Open all the gates of paradise, close the gates of hell, and he's paid you before you even started. SubhanAllah. How many prostrations will you do in the holy month of Ramadan? I mentioned yesterday that the reward for Taraweeh, two rewards. One is you will rise with the Siddiqs and the martyrs on the day of judgment if you offer Taraweeh prayer. The second is, you are sinless the day your mother gave birth to you. But how many prostrations do you do? In Bayhaqi, it is Shu'ab al-Iman, Hafiz Dimyati and Al-Matjar, number 704. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for every prostration that he performs in the month of Ramadan, be it the day or the night, he is rewarded with a tree in whose shade or a rider can ride for 500 years. Subhanallah. Think about that. So when you offer one prostration, Allah Ta'ala plants a tree for you in paradise. How vast is that tree? The shade of the tree will take a rider 500 years to cross. So if you do 2 rakat nafl, how many prostrations are there in 2 rakat nafl? There's 4. 1, 2 in each rakat. You got 4 trees. And the shade of which is 500 years, day or night. So why? Because it's the month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala is filling your paradise for you. With you making your own efforts. I mentioned yesterday that everything multiplies over 1,000 times, not 70. The weak hadith said 70. One of the proofs is the following. In Tirmidhi, number 3472, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 1-432, Hassan, Imam Zuhri, Tabi'in, Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, one tasbih, one subhanallah, in Ramadan, is better than 1,000 tasbihs in other than it. So what did this Tabi'in say? Abu Bakr ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, senior Tabi'in, Rahmatullah Alayh, a narrator in all the Sikh collections of hadiths, Imam Zuhri. Because you say one subhanallah in Ramadan, that is better than 1,000 outside of Ramadan. Question, didn't he know the hadith of 70? Of course he knew, but this is a weak report. The authentic report says 70 is weak. The authentic mentions 1,000 times. What about Umrah in Ramadan? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the report says in Abu Dawud, number 1990 is Hassan, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 1-183, Sahih. Ibn Khuzaymah, number 3077, Sahih Bayhaqi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an Umrah in Ramadan is equivalent to Hajj with me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. An Umrah in Ramadan is equal to doing Hajj with me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let me ask you a question. If the reward multiplies 70 times, this is what you're actually saying. Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is equal to 70 umrah. Can you accept that? It doesn't make sense. But if somebody goes, no. Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better than 1,000 umrah. That makes more sense. So this authentic report indicates that 70 is less. You get more rewards. What did I mention yesterday? Just to reiterate, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called this month Shahrun Yuzad, the month of increase. And what did Ibrahim al-Nakhai rahmatullah alayhi say? In Ad-Dur al-Mantur 1-454, one rakat in Ramadan is greater than 1,000 in other months. They all saying the same thing. Greater than 1,000, greater than 1,000. So now, think about this. If you offer one rakat, that's better than 1,000 rakats. You give £1 sadaqah, it's better than £1,000 sadaqah. If you give zakat, it multiplies more, not equal, more than 1,000 times. So this is what's important. When you authenticate, you get the true reality. But the sadness is people quote the weak hadith. And the weak hadith says the nafl becomes a farad. And the nafl is multiplied 70 times. It's a weak report. Because it contradicts the authentic reports. So note that the rewards are actually greater than this by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, the Prophet asked all the Muslims a question. So you ask the Muslims this question. And Tabarani in his Awsat, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 3-142. If he is not forgiven in this month, then when will he be forgiven? Look at the amazing question the Prophet asked. He's saying, if you're not going to be forgiven in Ramadan, when will you be forgiven? And that's exactly the point. When you go through all these reports, which I've been through for the last 3 nights, you think, how can you not get forgiven? But guess what? Some people don't get forgiven. The famous hadith in Tirmidhi, authentic, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Ameen 3 times when he climbed the pulpit. And when they asked him, why did you say Ameen 3 times? And one of the reasons, one of the Ameens was for this. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, may he be ruined that the month of Ramadan comes and goes and he is not forgiven. May he be ruined or cursed. The Prophet said, Ameen. Meaning it's impossible not to get forgiven. But guess what? People have reached such a low level. In fact, I think they've lost their iman. They're only Muslim by name. Right? You got people now who are planning to escape Ramadan. Think about that. What do I mean by that? They're going to avoid people so they can keep on eating, keep on drinking, keep on doing whatever they're doing. Right? They're escaping, imagine. Allah Ta'ala has made everything easy for them. And they're in such a bad state, they're doing the opposite. So the Prophet goes, when will you be forgiven? If not in the month of Ramadan. Astaghfirullah. Also, the reward of the fast. Now think about this. This is a Sahih hadith. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad 5-391, Asbahani, Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih Ut-Targhib number 976, our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever fasted for just one day, seeking by this only the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will then be ordained for him that he will enter paradise. Subhanallah. Whoever fasted for just one day, seeking only the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be ordained for him that he will enter paradise. Question. This is a nafal fast. Sahih hadith. Imagine somebody says to you, what's the reward for the nafal fast? Because if you do it sincerely, brother, bi wajhillah, sincerely, paradise is yours. So a person goes, well, what about Ramadan? The farad. Well, there you go, brother. If a nafal fast entitles you to Jannah, you got 29, 30 farad fasts approaching. If you were not forgiven in the month of Ramadan, when will you be forgiven? Also, the report mentions, like I said yesterday, now this narration is very interesting. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, number 3519, is Hassan. Ahmad in his Musnad 4-260, Darimi in his Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, fasting is half of patience. Look how interesting the hadith. Fasting is half of patience. So what does that mean? You need to have commentary on this hadith. In Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman 3-295, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Taba Tabi'i, Rahmatullah alayh, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily the patient will receive their reward without measure. Quran mentions that. The patient will receive their reward bighayri hisab. Thus, the reward for fasting has no measure because it is so great. He combined it in Surah Zumar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reward for patience is without measure. What did the Prophet call fasting? It's half of patience. What's half of bighayri hisab? It's still bighayri hisab. Therefore, he goes, what the hadith means is, the reward you can't put into words. If somebody goes, without accounts, I'm going to give you. What does that mean? And that is what the report mentions. Another beautiful hadith which people don't understand. In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Ibn Majah and Ahmad, very famous hadith. Hadith Qudsi. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, all the deeds of the son of Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam are for him, except for fasting. I, subhanahu wa ta'ala, shall give the reward for it. This is the most famous hadith. I'm sure you've heard this. In Bukhari and Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all the deeds of the son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam are for him except fasting. I shall give the reward for it. Then you ask a question. What does it mean? So let me ask your brother a question, Mustafa, what does it mean? This is the problem, right? People quote the hadith, but it's the most famous hadith you've quoted. What does it mean? I will give the reward for it. Doesn't he give the reward for everything? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he clarified, rahmatullah alayh, in Bayhaqi in his Sunan al-Kubra, volume 4, page 274. Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He will repay the wrongs that He has done from other deeds until nothing is left but fasting. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of any wrongdoings left. Thus He subhanahu wa ta'ala shall enter Him into paradise because of His fasting. Subhanallah. So what does it mean? Let's put it into very simple language. On the day of judgment, there's no currency. Pound sterling finished, dollars finished, euros finished, dinar dirham finished, shekel finished. One currency is now operative, good and bad deeds. If you've backbited somebody, you give your good deeds to him. If you've got no good deeds, he gives you your sins. He gives you sins. So this is what's going to happen. Sufyan ibn Uyayna says, your deeds are going left, right and center. Your salat's gone. Umrah's gone. Sadaqah's gone. But Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He does not give your fasting. He keeps it. He will not give it. Meaning everything goes. After that, the hadith says, Allah Ta'ala Himself intervenes. He protects your fasting. Then, you enter paradise with your fast. That is the meaning of that hadith. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all the deeds of the son of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, are for him except fasting. I shall give the reward for it. Bole bali musulman, quoting hadiths. What does he mean, brother? One brother said this to me and I nearly burst out laughing. He goes, oh, Allah Ta'ala Himself gives you the reward for it. So then I said, well, yeah, I know that's what he says, but what does it mean? He says, Allah Ta'ala gives you the reward for it. Then I goes, well, He gives you the reward for salat. You know, who else? Is Krishna going to give me a reward for it? And then he wasn't even thinking, he just quote that. Then, so the hadith becomes nonsensical. It must have some other meaning. Therefore, Sufyan ibn Uyayna says, Allah Ta'ala won't. So think about that. When you're fasting in the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala is not going to give that to anybody else. It can't be lost. Let alone your nafil fasts. Doesn't that make you happy? No matter how bad I am, as long as I don't commit shirk, it's going to be there for me. Allah Ta'ala is going to protect it. So why are we so upset when we are fasting? You should be thinking, Allahu Akbar, the deed that can't be passed on. And who said that? Tabata'abi'in, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. Think about that. Not just a normal person. Somebody who lived in the time of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, rahimahumullah. I mentioned yesterday that the people who fast, they will be eating on the Day of Judgment. But what will they be eating on? In Kanzul Umal, number 26,340 or 7-214, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the Day of Judgment, a dining mat of gold will be placed for the fasting people, whilst others will be waiting for their accounts. So the dining mat is made of gold, dress the khan. On the sunnah is leather. On the Day of Judgment is gold. Only people allowed to eat from that huge drastakhan of gold are the people who fasted. Rest, you wait for your accounts. In another report, in Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 8853 or 5-490, Abu Darda added, it will be equal to the perimeter of the earth, laid under the divine shade of the throne. There would be a variety of heavenly foods, drinks and fruits on it. So now let's look at it. How big is this dining? It's as big as the earth, the diameter. Imagine. Where is it located? Under the shade of the arsh. No sun. What's on the dining mat? Food of paradise. Drink of paradise. Question. You haven't even been taken to account yet. Allah Ta'ala is making you wait for your accounts in the most honorable way. Think about that. If somebody goes to you, have you been accounted for? No. Well, you're living, you're eating and drinking, what's going on? Because this is how Allah Ta'ala honors the people who fast. So inshallah, think about that. We'll be looking forward to this on the Day of Judgment. Right? When you get thirsty, you know, people say, I got thirsty, my mouth got dry. What's going to happen on Day of Judgment, brother? When the sun's a mile high or 10 miles high and your neck's in a break. But don't worry, you'll be under the divine shade, eating and drinking from the fruits of paradise on that beautiful golden dastakhan. Think about it, because you were looking after the fast that Allah Ta'ala has given you. What else does the fasting person get? In Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus, Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu said, every hair of the fasting person does tasbih for him. So how many hairs have you got? I don't know, 100,000, million. Each hair is doing subhanAllah for you, making dua for you. Allah Ta'ala is recording of you, if you fast. Soon as you stop fasting, they stop. One person goes to me, goes, what about the bold people? Have they lost that? The bold people aren't really bold. They've discovered this. The hair gets so thin, you can't see it. But if you've got a powerful enough equipment, they've still got all their hair. So look how interesting. Why? Allah Ta'ala is not going to deprive a bold person. He's done nothing wrong. What if a person goes, it doesn't matter. This hair is still there. Allah Ta'ala has put it there permanently. Your eye is not strong enough to see it. Even a completely bald person, he's got full hair. Look how interesting that is. Each hair is doing tasbih for that person. Imagine, when you're combing your hair in Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, my hair is doing subhanAllah, I'm getting rewarded for it. Proper subhanAllah starts coming out when you're combing your hair. Another report in Ahmad in Az-Zuhd 4-313, Abu Al-Ali rahmatullah alayhi, he said, a fasting person is in a state of worship just as long as he does not backbite, even if he is sleeping on his bed. Subhanallah. So imagine, you're fasting and you're sleeping. Even that is ibadat. But if you backbite, it's gone. Backbiting is one of the worst things you can do when you're fasting. It'll terminate the fast in terms of the reward. And some of the imams say it terminates the fast itself. So again, backbiting is something you got to keep away from completely. It's on lockdown completely, as they say. When you fast, in Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf 6-98, Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, he said to Talq ibn Qais rahmatullah alayh, when you fast, refrain as much as you can. That was the advice Abu Dharr, Sahaba, gave to a Tabi'in. When you fast, refrain as much as you can. Talq fasted, he would not even leave his house except for Salat. So look at the advice. Abu Dharr goes, when you're fasting, control yourself. Absolutely put yourself on lockdown. So Talq took it so seriously, he didn't come out of his house. Only for Salat. He was that scared. Seeing somewhere, hearing something. Now when a person's fasting, you're thinking, you know, brother, when you fast, it shouldn't be like a normal day. It should be a day in which you should be like on lockdown, increasing in good deeds. But the way you're walking about, it's like you're in the worst state. You're better off not fasting. Astaghfirullah. You're giving that impression. So note, this is how we look at the fast. This is why there's a report. Fasting makes you honorable. Say that to a brother and sister. Fasting will make you honorable. So what's the question going to be? How? How does fasting make me honorable? Because Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Surah Baqarah that fast is prescribed for you so you may gain taqwa. But in Surah Hujarat, Surah 49 verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the most honorable of you are those with the most taqwa. So put them both together. Fasting, if you do it properly, gives you taqwa. The Quran says that. If you get taqwa, the Quran then says, you become honorable. So fasting equals, if you got an equation, fasting equals nobility. Allah Ta'ala wants to make you noble. Think about that. You don't have to go on a course. Just guard the fast. Allah Ta'ala will make you a noble person. Now, this is important. Just as sins, good deeds multiply, sins also become destructive in Ramadan. Sins. So there's two hadiths. These are very important to understand, these two hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Tabarani in his Awsat 2-414, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refrain from negligence in Ramadan. For it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you 11 months to take advantage of his bounties and to enjoy them. However, he has kept 1 month for himself. Those fear him concerning Ramadan. So this is the first report. What does it say? Putting in my own words. 11 months. If you're going to be basically a shaitan, don't be a shaitan. With those 11 months, less problematic for you. But in Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't you dare do anything like this. This is Allah Ta'ala's month. He goes, treat it as a special month. This is the first hadith. Second, in Tabarani in his Saghir 9-60, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my ummah will not be disgraced as long as it fulfills the rites of Ramadan. Meaning, not committing sins in this month. Those fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning Ramadan. For just as good deeds are multiplied in this month as compared to other months, the same applies to sins. The Prophet is explaining now. He goes, if you honor Ramadan, my ummah will not be disgraced. Let me ask you a question. Are the Muslims being disgraced? Yes. Why? Ask a person, brother, we all know we're getting hammered. All the Muslims were like, sitting ducks. Why is that? Which person would say, brother, Ramadan's become a joke, hasn't it? When you say that, they'll look at you and think, what has that got to do with the political state of the Muslims? There you go, brother. You have been disgraced because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are not honoring Ramadan. Then the Prophet told you how to honor it. He goes, do not sin in this month. Because sins multiply as good deeds do. Now, why is this very interesting? Because you get the daytime awliyas. What do I mean? As soon as they're fasting, they're awliya. Soon as the fast breaks, shaitan comes out again. Cigarettes come out. Right? Biting, swearing, looking at everything on the phone. Brother, it's still Ramadan. What are you doing? Oh, brother, it's alright. I'm not fasting now. Fasting's all finished, class. I'm going to start again. Fajr. There you go, brother. Ramadan is not just during the day. It's during the night. If you dishonor the month, Allah will disgrace you. Meaning, you have to be... And if you dare commit a sin, it multiplies more than 1,000 times. Think about that. Is it worth it? Somebody goes, what do you do, brother? Say, brother, I don't like mentioning sins. Good. But just imagine what you did. Multiplied more than 1,000 times. MashaAllah. Congratulations. Was it worth it? No, but I didn't do it during the fast. It doesn't matter, brother. Ramadan's during the night as well. So note, you have to honor the month. Now you get fruitcakes. They don't even fast. They break their fast. Somebody goes, well, end of the day, brother. They don't know what they're doing, do they? Okay. There's a hadith. The hadith is in Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi said it's authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever deliberately breaks the fast of Ramadan, deliberately, even if he then fasts for the rest of his life, he cannot make up for that fast he's broken. Somebody goes, what? Think about that. Somebody deliberately breaks. Now you get fruitcakes. You go to school, fruitcakes everywhere, right? Brother, go and just have your dinner in it. Nobody's seeing it. Knock it back. Then have your kebabs at night. What he's actually told you to do is this. Break the fast. And even if you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you fast and you live for 5,000 years and you fasted every single day, you can't make up for that fast you broke. That's what he's asking you to do. Would a person even think about breaking the fast? That's number one. Number two. In the books of fiqh, this is what it says. If you are living in an Islamic state, which we're not, and The authorities witness you breaking the fast without an excuse. What's the hudud? What do you think? What's the punishment? What do you think is the punishment? Nope.
Death penalty.
Execution. So imagine, brother, I want Islamic State. MashaAllah. Right? And then he goes, yeah, oh, do you have that burger? Yeah. Police comes. Oh, yeah, well, probably take me to prison, you know. Yeah, sharpening blade. What are they doing? Your head's coming off. Because you have dishonored the month of Ramadan. Imagine. You are executed. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want nothing to do with you. I've given you the month of Ramadan and you've broken the fast. You're making a mockery. Look at the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death penalty. He can cry as much as he wants. Death penalty. I don't want to even know him. Take him to Allah, take him back. This is how you deal with this criminal. Imagine how many heads would be rolling. Imagine it. MashaAllah, brother. You broke your fast. Oh, MashaAllah. Was that burger worth it? Were you that hungry for that drink? That thirsty? Congratulations. But, flip the coin. There's a beautiful report. There was a fire worshipper with his son. Fire worshipper. Person who worshipped the sun. And he had his little son with him. And he's walking in the marketplace of the Muslims. His son gets something out of his pocket to eat. It's Ramadan. Don't forget, they're not Muslims. So when he gets the thing out of his pocket to eat, father cracks him. So the son goes, father, why have you struck me? He goes, listen. He goes, don't eat in this month in front of them because it is Ramadan. So the son goes, father, he goes, it's not our Ramadan, it's the Muslim Ramadan. Why you hit me? Why have you struck me? He goes, respect this month. What happened? Shortly thereafter, the father dies. A few nights later, his son sees his father in paradise. And he goes, father, what happened? He goes, Alhamdulillah. He goes, that night I died, just before I died, because I honored the month of Ramadan. Allah the Almighty and Glorious allowed me to take the Shahada. He goes, he wanted me to die with Iman. Now you see me in paradise. So what does this narration tell you? This narration says, Allah Ta'ala honors the kafir if he honors the month of Ramadan. And look at the tragedy in that. You got a fire worshipper showing more respect to Ramadan than a so-called Muslim. Work that one out. Telling his son, don't eat. This is the holy month of the Muslims, Ramadan. And you got so-called Ahmed, Muhammad, Abu Bakr knocking it back in Ramadan. Who truly is the fire worshipper. Right? So note, in the holy month of Ramadan, complete lockdown. Because look, Allah Ta'ala has given us Jannat on a plate. I have to try my best to avoid sins. Obviously, you might fall into it. But you strive your utmost to keep away from it as forgiveness. And the only way to do that is to keep out of the haram. Think about that, to keep out of the haram. And just to finish with this, the sahri. The sahri, the morning meal. Don't miss the morning meal. But when should you eat it? In Tabarani, in his Kabir, number 10,851, Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 1,884, it's Sahih in Ahkam al-Janais, page 149. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, we the company of the Prophets, I all the Prophets, alayhi salatu wa sallam, have been commanded to do three things. All the Prophets commanded to do three things. Sahih hadith. Number one, to be quick in breaking the fast. So if it's 9 o'clock, I'm not going to break it 1 minute past 9. It's 9 o'clock. I'm following the sunnah. Be quick. Soon as the time enters, you break the fast. Don't add 2 minutes to it. Number one. Number two. The second thing all the prophets were commanded to do, alayhi salatu wasalam, to delay in taking sahri. So sahri finishes when fajr entry starts. So let's say the fajr enters at 3 o'clock. You'll get some fruitcakes having their sahri at 1 o'clock. He goes, what are you doing? No, brother, I just want to make sure. Right? You want to make sure. There's 2 hours left. No, brother, but it's 2 extra hours. I'm suffering. Allah Ta'ala give me more reward. Bakwas. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want you to suffer. Delay it. So the person, what do you mean delay? What time does Fajr start? 3 o'clock? Okay, 10 to 3. Keep eating till 10 to 3. And if you haven't had enough to eat, eat till 5 to 3. And if you haven't had nothing, still have something even before 3 o'clock. The prophets were commanded to do this. Who the hell are you? And the third thing the Prophet said, all the prophets said, the Prophet said, to place the right hand on the left in Salat. All the prophets tied their hands in Salat. Three sunnahs, two related to fasting. Quickly break the fast when it enters and delay. How long should you delay? Famous hadith. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu, he relates. I asked Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu, what was the time between the sahri of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Fajr? And Zayd ibn Thabit said, the time it took to read 50 verses from the Quran. He goes, so when the Prophet finished eating and he prayed the Fajr, it was about, you could read 50 verses. 50 verses of the Quran is about 10 minutes. That's why you get a timetable. And what does he always do? MashaAllah. They'll say, Fajr empty time, 3 o'clock. Sahri ends 2:50. That's sunnah. Because there's that 50 minute, there's a 10 minute gap, 50 for 50 verses. But that tells you what you're supposed to be doing at that time. Not eating pakore. Right? The 10 minutes up to the Fajr, you're supposed to be reading the Quran. That's why Zayd used that language. He goes, that last 10 minutes before Fajr, make sure you read Quran. I offer tahajjud, so you still tahajjud time. So have your sahri and then make sure you read Quran during that time. How great is the sahri? The hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad 3-12, Tabarani in his Awsat, Ibn Hibban Sahih, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf 3-8, Hasan Tarheeb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yusallu inna Allah wa malaikat inna Allah wa malaikatu yusalluna alal mutasahhirin. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels alayhi salatu wa salam send salat upon those who take sahri. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna alal mutasahhirin. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels, alayhi salatu wa salam, send blessings upon those who take sahri. Look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. It's not an act of piety to miss sahri. Some people say it makes the fast easy if I have my sahri. It's better for me not to have sahri. I get more reward because I'm struggling. No, you're not. Bakwas. Have your Allah Ta'ala doesn't want hardship for you. He says, have a breakfast. In fact, I recommend, I'll bless you. I don't want hardship for you. Delay it. I don't want hardship for you. Then fast. For some people, I don't know what planet they're on. What's the best thing to have for sahri? Dates. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Abu Dawud, how excellent are dates for the sahri. So the ulama, they prescribe that you should, just like you break the fast with a date, you should start your sahri with a date. This is another sunnah. Obviously, just dates, if you can do that. But we like our cornflakes and toast and eggs, right? So you think, I want to get the sunnah thing. So put a date for everybody. Say, before you start your sahri, start with a date, just like you break the fast. So you get the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So put a date, get into a habit of doing that. So not all of these things are some of the things I wanted to mention with regards to the glorious deed of fasting, the holy month of Ramadan, and of course, sahri. And not to forget the incredible benefits on the body. In Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and Mishkat, the Prophet ﷺ said, fasting is the zakat of the body. Subhanallah. Fasting is the zakat. Is the zakat of the body, meaning it has such a beautiful impact upon the physical well-being of your body, not just physical, spiritual. More important to have the spiritual being. So after, that's why the ulama say it's the MOT. It's the MOT for the Muslims. Every year it comes round. But, to finish with this word of warning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, many of my ummah only get hunger and thirst from their fasts. Many from my ummah will only receive hunger and thirst from their fasts. Meaning, they don't understand what the fast is about. They only think, stop eating and drinking. So that's not the fast. The fast is to protect your eyes from the haram, to protect your ears from the haram, your mouth, your hands. Then it's a fast in the sight of Allah. Otherwise, it's like a diet. You understand? So don't be amongst the many. The tragedy is the many, the Prophet said, many people are like that. They even said, look, my stomach's growling. That means my fast accepted. Who told you that? Right? Many people, you know, they have the A'udhu Billah. So we ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in our months of Rajab and Sha'aban and convey us safely to the holy month of Ramadan. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك بحمدك سبحان الله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا الله استغفرك واتوب اليك وبحمد الله من شان الحكيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصل الحق ورواصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم